Tonight's reading is from Romans 8, verses 28 to 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then can condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you. Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be back with you again. Must admit, I'm a bit nervous tonight. I'm going to tell you why, because last month, Chris asked me to come along and speak at the youth weekend in about a month's time, and of course I said yes to that. And then he mentioned that he wanted me to come along to the youth service and sort of present a bit of a sort of a taster, which is what's happening now, and I also said yes to that. But then I started thinking about it, what that actually meant, because a taster is kind of like a trailer. You know, before a movie comes out, they put out a trailer and you kind of judge whether you're going to go and see the movie based on that trailer. Well, I have a feeling that tonight is a little bit like that. So I'm hoping tonight goes well because it may well just be me on the youth weekend. That wouldn't be very exciting. But anyway, the topic I've been asked to come along and speak to you about is, I suppose, I want to phrase it like this. The question is probably, what does being in Christ mean for us? What does being in Christ mean for us? And you know that phrase, in Christ, it occurs many, many times throughout the Bible. But what does it actually mean? I must admit, maybe you're like me, whenever I sort of come across maybe a phrase or a sentence that I don't fully understand, I'll maybe take sort of a mental note of it and sort of jot it down in my mind and think, yeah, I'll come and sort of look into that at some point in the future. And then I never do. It sort of gets thrown with all the other sort of mental notes that I've got in there. And so when I was asked to come and speak on what in Christ meant, it allowed me to go and start digging and to find out what that meant. If I'm honest with you, I actually assumed I knew what it meant already. Whenever I came across the phrase in Christ throughout the Bible, the thing that I always thought about was a tank, like an army tank. And I kind of got this image that that's what it was like for us to be in Christ. Christ is like the army tank, and then we're inside, protected, and Christ is on the outside, and he takes all the flak for us. But I was wrong. I've been wrong many times in my life, but I was wrong on that too. So what does this idea of being in Christ actually mean? Well, the best way of putting it, I think, is probably this. And that is, in Christ, to be in Christ, it means to be bonded to Christ. So to be in Christ means to be bonded in Christ. A term bonded comes from chemistry. If you've done chemistry, you'll know what that's about. If you haven't, like myself, done it for a few years' time, let me let you know what that means. Well, it's whenever two chemicals are brought together and they're bonded together to create a compound. It's a bit like an alloy, like your alloy wheels. It's maybe two metals that are brought together to make this new alloy, this new compound, this new thing. Well, that's the best description of what to be in Christ means. But now we know what it means, how does that then affect each one of us? And that's what we next have to work out, because now that we know what it means to be in Christ, we need to know what it means for each one of us, what it means for me and what it means for you. And there's a Christian author called John Piper, and he wrote an article about this, and he listed 13 different things that being in Christ means. And I actually want to read all 13 to you, if you don't mind. Just let these wash over you as I read through them. He says this, number one, in Christ Jesus, you were given grace before the world was created. In Christ Jesus, you were chosen by God before creation. In Christ Jesus, you are loved by God with an inseparable love. In Christ Jesus, you were redeemed and forgiven for all your sins. In Christ Jesus, you are justified before God, and the righteousness of God in Christ is imputed to you. In Christ Jesus, you have become a new creation and a son of God. In Christ Jesus, you have been seated in the heavenly places, even while he lived on earth. In Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are yes for you. In Christ Jesus, you are being sanctified and made holy. In Christ Jesus, everything you really need will be supplied. In Christ Jesus, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. In Christ Jesus, you have eternal life. And then finally, in Christ Jesus, you will be raised from the dead at the coming of the Lord. All of those are amazing truths. All 13 of those are amazing truths. And if you're in Christ, they all apply to you. Those promises are yours tonight. But I want to just unpack one of those. I don't want to keep you here all night as we look through all 13. I just want to look at one of those tonight, and that's number three, which is in Christ Jesus, you're loved by God with an inseparable love. In Christ Jesus, you're loved by God with an inseparable love. I love that sort of term that he uses, inseparable love. I'm going to reword it slightly, because I think the best way for us to get our heads around this is not that it's inseparable love, but that it's unstoppable love. It's a love that can't be restrained, it can't be stopped, it can't be resisted. This is love that just keeps going. And as we heard there, as Fiona read to us in verse 38 and 39, there are a list of, I suppose another way of putting it would be hurdles. There are hurdles that are listed for us in that passage. And each time, God's love is able to jump over every single one of them. I just want to read those last couple of verses from Romans 8. It says there, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." There's that term, in Christ Jesus again, our Lord. You see, each one of those things that are mentioned there, they're kind of hurdles. Death, life, angels, demons, the present, the future, any powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation. And God's love for us is unstoppable. It's able to jump over every single one of those hurdles to get to us. And you know, when I think about unstoppable love, the thing that I kind of think about is the relationship I have with my mom. You know, I love my mom, and she loves me, not to get too soppy about it. And I would probably describe our love as pretty hurdle-free. You know, there haven't been a lot of hurdles. Maybe sort of every Mother's Day is a bit of a hurdle to get over to make sure I've got the right gift for her. But apart from that, it's been relatively hurdle-free, the love that we've had for each other. That was until last year. Something happened. Something devastating happened to us. And that was that my mom joined Facebook. Now, if you understand why that's a problem, then you're with me. If you don't understand why that's a problem, well, please listen up, because you're probably in my mom's camp on this one. So, my mom joined Facebook. That was tough enough. But then she started to add my friends, some of which she hadn't even met before. She started adding them on Facebook. Then, just last month, she sent a message. Now, not a private message to two of my friends. She sent a public message to two female friends from my church, okay, asking them if they would be interested in going out with her son. This is true. The evidence is on Facebook for all to see. Do you know what? I honestly wanted to show you screenshots, but they're too painful. They are too painful. Doesn't end there. She puts up sort of these embarrassing posts, which her friends all love, but my friends just think are cringeworthy. So you can imagine how that makes me feel. And it didn't end there, because a couple of days ago, I mean, this is a present reality for me, okay? The panic. My mum doesn't know how to tag people on Facebook. This is another sort of issue that I have with her. So she'll just type my name under a post, and then maybe a friend of mine will say, "You realize your mum wrote your name on this?" Because, of course, if I'm not tagged, it doesn't come to me. One of the things that she did, she was on my church's Facebook page, and my church were having yesterday a big clean-up, a big spring clean, where they got different people down to sort of tidy up the church. That is not something I want to do, if I'm honest. I have a tough enough time trying to clean my own house rather than the church. My mum decided that she would tag me on that and then say, "John Hannah, get your marigolds on," which then meant that yesterday I had to go to my church and clean the church because she had signed me up for it. So this is a tough thing. This is a hurdle that I've had with my mum. And thankfully, it appears that we've crossed that hurdle, that we've jumped over the Facebook hurdle. But I suppose that doesn't leave us with getting to grips with what this unstoppable love means. And I suppose the best way to then think about it is to look at the list of hurdles that we see in those couple of verses and see if the love that I have with my mum is really unstoppable. And if you look down at verse 38, 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death is a hurdle." You know, the love I have for my mum falls at that first hurdle. I don't want to get too morbid with you, but our love will end when one of us dies. And so I can't call it unstoppable. There will come a point when one of us will die and that love will end. Death will stop our love. And the love will move from being a present reality to something that's just a memory. But God's love, it's unstoppable. God's love jumps over that hurdle, one of the biggest hurdles any of us can possibly face. God's love jumps over that. And that's because God's love is unstoppable, completely and utterly unstoppable. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop our God from loving us. Every single hurdle we have in that passage is jumped over. It's unstoppable. It's completely unstoppable. Let me read the verses again. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So God's love is quite clearly unstoppable. I wonder if you've ever been unstoppable. I don't mean figuratively. I mean literally unstoppable. Because 2 weeks ago, I was literally unstoppable. Before I get to that, I need to give you some background to what actually happened. So 2 weeks ago, I was speaking at my own church's youth weekends, and we were up on the North Coast. And on the Saturday, we decided to go to Barry's, as you do. No trip to the North Coast is good without a trip to Barry's. So we went there, and we went on the Dodgems, got our tokens, and set out on these Dodgems. And so the buzzer sounded and we all set off on the little Dodgems, as you do. And every time I kind of built up speed to sort of smash into one of the young people that I have to care for, every time I was coming to smash into one of these young people, there was this couple who wasn't part of our youth fellowship, but they would come out of nowhere and hit into the side of me, okay? Which then meant that I didn't build up enough speed to smash in to these kids that I'm there to be responsible for. Now, this started to annoy me because, you know, I wanted to have a good time in the Dodgems, but there's this couple that kept appearing out of nowhere. Now, you may not believe me. So I actually have proof of what happened because one of the guys, one of the leaders that helps lead youth fellowship with me, they were taking photos and they actually took a snapshot of one of these times. Let's put it up there. So you can see me, this is me, and this is a guy in our youth fellowship, and this couple kept appearing out of nowhere and crashing into the side of us. Now it gets worse, you can actually see the anger on her face as she's staring at me, ready to crash into me. So this is true, this actually happened, so I wanted to teach these people a lesson. because they kept crashing into me and ruining my fun at Barry's. And towards the end, I got my chance, because I started heading towards them, because I saw that they had crashed in. If you want to set the scene here and imagine this, the left-hand side, you've got the parked Dodgems. They had crashed into those, and they couldn't work out how to reverse, okay? Everyone else was at the other side, and you know when at the Dodgems, when people don't know what they're doing, they were in sort of a big circle, sort of trying to get out. Now, I broke away from that and started heading towards them full tilt. Full tilt. I mean, my foot was to the floor. I was going for it, and I was like, yes, I am going to send them a message. This is going to be it. I'm going to get my payback. But just as I'm approaching them, and remember, they're facing the other way. They're still trying to work out how to reverse this thing. I'm heading towards them, and the buzzer goes, and the power cuts out, okay? But here's the thing. I'm still heading towards them. So I've built up this speed, and I'm still, now, it probably wasn't that fast, but I'm still heading towards them. And I thought, right, they're not going to be expecting this. Then something else happened, which was a bit of a problem, because their harness lifted, and they started getting up. Now, again, I'm still heading towards them at a bit of a speed, and they're now getting out of the Dodgems. So then I think, right, I wanted to send them a message. I did not want to send them to A&E. And so I swing the wheel around to try and get it into reverse, but of course there's no power, so it doesn't do anything, and I'm still heading towards them. And I crash into the back of them. Now, thankfully, they didn't fall out of the Dodgem. They just sort of fell back into their seat. And for the rest of our day at Barry's, I kind of avoided them because I was pretty embarrassed about what had happened. But in that moment, I was literally unstoppable. I couldn't stop. I couldn't work out a way to stop this. Nothing that I could do could stop me from crashing into this couple. And it's a bit like God's love for us. Because no matter what is thrown at it, no matter what we try to do to it, God's love is unstoppable. God's love is still coming towards us. And why is that? Well, because he loves us so much that his love, no matter what is thrown in the way, whether it's death, life, angels, demons, present, future, powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation, is able to stop that love. Nothing is able to get in its way and stop it from coming to us. So at the beginning, we looked at what it meant to be in Christ and what that meant. And for me, I think the best way of putting it is that we're bonded to Christ. And then next, we thought about what being in Christ means to each one of us. And we read through those 13 things and thought about that unstoppable love that Christ has for each one of us. But the thing I want to draw our minds to now is, now that we know what it means to be in Christ, and now that we know what it means for us, I suppose the question we need to ask ourselves is, how do we get into Christ? Or how do we become bonded to Christ? And the Bible tells us we do that by faith. It's as simple as that. We become bonded to Christ by faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this, "The life I now live by faith in the Son of God." Of course, the Son of God is Christ Jesus. Another way of wording that is by faith in Christ Jesus. So the life I now live by faith in Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, if you're in Christ, if you're a Christian and you've put your faith in Christ, each of those 13 amazing promises that I read, they're yours, and you can hold on to them day in and day out, and nothing stops God from loving you. But on the flip side, being outside of Christ, you don't have those 13 promises. Those 13 promises aren't yours. In fact, you have nothing. And why do I say you have nothing? You may have a big bank account, a big house, and a big car. Why am I saying you have nothing? Well, because you have nothing that will last. You have nothing that's truly unstoppable in your life, not even love is unstoppable in your life. And nothing you have is hurdle-proof. Nothing is able to cross those hurdles that we read from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. You know, there's a Christian author called J.I. Packer, and he actually said about this chapter, Romans 8, he said that it was his favorite chapter because it begins in verse 1 with, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And it ends with, "Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And if you're bonded to Christ by faith, you are loved by God with an unstoppable love. And you will be able to claim Romans 8 for yourself because those things apply to you. But if you're not, please come to Christ by faith. Be bonded to Christ and you will then be loved with that unstoppable love and you will be able to claim Romans 8. And you'll be able to reword verse 1 and verse 39 and you'll be able to say, "There is no condemnation for me. Nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, that's the amazing truth of this passage, that nothing is able to separate us from God's love. Nothing can come between us and the love that God has for each and every one of us. Let me just pray as we bring our time to a close. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for Romans chapter 8. And we want to thank you for the fact that your love for each one of us, if we are in Christ, if we are bonded to Christ, is completely unstoppable. There is no hurdle any person, the devil, any angel, or even ourselves can throw in front of that unstoppable love. And we thank you for that. Father, if there are people here who don't yet know you, who haven't come to be bonded to Christ, who haven't come to you by faith, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and point them to the need of a Savior and allow them to grab hold of every single one of those 13 promises that we have throughout the Scriptures of what being in Christ means for us. Father, we want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you that it's so high we can't get over it, so wide we can't get round it, and it's so low we can't get under it. We thank you for your wonderful love. And so, Father, we want to thank you for our evening. We want to thank you for all of the skills and the gifts that you've given to each one of the young people who have taken part. And, Father, we would rejoice in what you're doing in this generation, telling them and training them up to be great men and women of God. Father, we thank you for all that you do for each and every one of us. And we pray that you will look after us and remind us daily, even if we sometimes don't feel like it, that you do love us with an unstoppable love. Father, we pray these in the words of Jesus' name. Amen.